Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good morning. Keith Overt here, Pensacola Business Radio, and I am proud to announce this is our second episode of Women in Leadership, and I have three fantastic ladies across this table from me who I sure are going to share some serious insight on being a woman in leadership and just some really good things that have happened in their lives that we definitely want to share. Our theme today is career changes and transitions and taking charge of your career trajectory. So I'm going to let you ladies head around this table and introduce yourselves because I can't do you justice that way. So Christine, I'm going to let you take it away.
Absolutely. Christina Doss, Managing Director for Saltmarsh Financial Advisors, which is a fee-only wealth management and financial planning firm. And it was started about 18 years ago by Saltmarsh, Cleveland, and Gunn.
Fantastic. Go for it.
Great. Okay. I'm Dr. Sherry Hartnett, and I'm a marketing professor and director of an executive mentoring program at the University of West Florida. And I also own my own marketing consulting firm, Hartnett Marketing Solutions.
So you're not busy at all, though.
I'm juggling a lot, and it's awesome.
Great. Okay, Julie.
And I'm Julie Shepherd. I'm an attorney and general counsel at the Florida Institute for Human and Machine Cognition, also known as IHMC in downtown Pensacola. And we're a research institute of the State University System of Florida.
Who builds really cool robots.
Very cool.
Very cool. Well, let's just kick it off. Can each of you give me a brief overview of your varied careers? Julie gets to go first.
Sure, I'll start. So I've had a kind of fun transition. I started out very young as a attorney in a very large general practice law firm, the second largest law firm in the state of Maine. And I was there in my late 20s to early 30s. And then I transitioned to Florida and became a labor and employment lawyer for the State University System of Florida and got to represent all 11 public universities. And I transitioned then to become the first in-house counsel at the University of West Florida, left there to go to work in-house at the University of North Florida. And then I came back to Pensacola to start up the independent IHMC.
Very cool. So you would say that it's okay to change.
Oh, I thrive on change. I think we all should change often.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Sure. I've had many jobs like everybody else here, but probably three distinct career paths. First, I was a marketing executive for Gannett, and they're one of the largest publishing companies in the nation. And I led marketing teams at a variety of newspapers in a variety of states. And then I changed industries, and I left the publishing world to become the top corporate marketing executive for Baptist Healthcare. So I moved into the healthcare industry. And now for the past 3 or 4 years, I feel like I'm in another career. I left the corporate world to be a marketing professor and work at the university and do consulting work. So it's very busy, but three very distinct career paths.
So even though in the university, it's not the same as the corporate?
No.
Okay. Because I had honestly wondered that because I've had a lot of people, doctors, professors and stuff from UWF and wasn't sure if there was that same sort of structure in the university field.
I think perhaps on the business side of the university, it might be very similar. From the education academic side, it's very different.
Very cool. Okay, Christina, take it away.
So I pretty much stayed with a similar job roles and responsibilities, but I started my career kind of late in life. I was a stay-home mom till my kids were 6 and 8 years old. But I knew I had an interest in financial planning and investment management. So I actually started out getting education through the College for Financial Planning. And then in the mid-90s, went to work for Charles Schwab, had the opportunity when they came to town here in Pensacola to be one of the first individuals hired with the firm, and was a customer service rep and a broker. But then I had the opportunity to really work towards some leadership roles and went after that as they were a very innovative, fast-growing company and got the chance to be part of a 30-person development team to help Schwab create their advice capabilities. and then was director of financial planning, and then was offered the opportunity to take a big role on the West Coast with Schwab running their West Coast private client division. And so there was a lot of commuting that was involved, a lot of time traveling, which led me to really look at opportunities back home here in Pensacola.
So it takes a lot out of you, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And so I had a chance to join SunTrust Bank and work for SunTrust for a number of years, about 7 years, and had leadership opportunities there running their private client division for North Florida and was city president here. But again, there was that transition because at the time I joined them, banking, we were experiencing kind of a financial crisis and all the banks were downsizing, yes. And while my role expanded, it put me in a different place with respect to relocation and looking at what those career advancement opportunities might be in the future. So that's when I started to look again locally at what the opportunities were and had the chance to join a wonderful firm with Saltmarsh, Cleveland & Gunn in their financial advisory division and actually helped create directionally where they're going now with that and started as their managing director a couple of years ago.
All right. So all of you, what do you think were triggers that led to you to say, because I know a lot of people struggle with change, and I know a lot of the way that the workforce over the last probably 10 years has evolved is it's no longer stay with this one place for forever, right? Mm-hmm. So what are some of those triggers that you think were universal for the three of you in saying it's time to just do something different?
Well, I'll take that. I have the opposite trajectory from Christina. I had my children in my 40s. So in my 20s and 30s, I was kind of footloose and fancy free. And I wanted to see the world. I wanted to travel. Lifestyle, location was really important to me. So I found myself at 30 years old working 12, 15 hours a day up in Maine where it was dark when I went to work in the morning. It was dark when I came home at night. It was cold. And I just said, you know, I want to live someplace warm. So
you were tired of shoveling snow before you go to work?
And I was tired of being cold. So I just, you know, worked out a notice with my law firm and just moved to Florida. I hadn't taken the Florida bar. I didn't have a job. I just said, this is where I want to go. And I think when you're young without a responsibility for other people, and you have confidence in what you can do, that's an easy transition. And it was fun.
Yeah.
And I landed on my feet, took the Florida bar, took a job as a hearing officer for a while, and then transitioned into the university system. In my 30s, I think I was looking more for career growth. And I think I was looking at, well, you know, if you take this path, what are the paths you're not taking? And can you ever get back to those? And then I had two children in my 40s. And then my decisions, I think, were made more about family, location, the needs of other people. I have a husband that's an architect, so his career trajectory comes into play.
Right.
So I kind of have an opposite career line than probably Christina does.
But you jumped.
But I jumped.
You jumped.
And I think I've always landed on my feet.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people do that. But I've noticed that you're saying is that, and both of you have, even though you jumped, you sat down for those couple minutes and really kind of thought which direction to go.
Absolutely.
It was probably more than a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
I think as we've discussed this, it was very thoughtful planning. You know, when you look in terms of assessing the risk factors, what does it mean to make a change? Does it potentially impact your opportunity for advancement? How does it impact from a financial consideration?
Yeah.
There was a lot of thought that went into that. But all of us, I think, agreed that we are inherently risk takers.
Right.
And we like the opportunity to explore our creative side as well. We also feel it's very important to ensure that we've got, you know, as they say, the work-life balance, that, you know, the lifestyle and the environment you're working in and your family are very important.
Yeah.
It's important to all of us, I would think.
And I would agree. I think different things have been more important to me at different times in my life, which is a little bit about what you all are saying too. So in the first part of my career, I was really focused on that career growth, the bigger job, bigger title, more responsibilities,
more money.
Bigger team, more money,
yeah.
The whole thing. So that's what I was looking for. And with Gannett, the way to do that is to relocate. to a bigger job. And so we did that. My husband and I moved quite a bit, probably every 2 to 3 years. We moved to a different location, different city, different state, and it was great. It was fun. But then we moved to Pensacola. We had 2 young boys at that time, and we love Pensacola, and we decided, you know what? I don't want to keep relocating. I want to stay here in Pensacola. So when that those job opportunities came up, I had to make that decision. Do I want to take that and relocate or not?
Yeah.
And so I decided not. And so at that point, then you start to say, okay, well, this is great. Love the company, but I'm looking for some challenges. I'm looking to do something fun and new. And so when an opportunity came up in Pensacola and I was recruited by Baptist Healthcare, I took the leap to transition to the healthcare industry. And that was based more on my family.
Yeah.
And then from there, so I've had, I was making decisions at first based on career. Then I was making decisions based on family. And then the most recent transition was really based on me and what I was looking for at that time in my life. And, so I'd had those corporate jobs and really focused. And the thing was, in the industries I was in, publishing, the media world, and healthcare, 24/7, constantly
nonstop. Yeah.
And so I had kind of gotten a little disenfranchised with the corporate world of all the meetings and the budgets and the restrictions and things like that. And I was looking for a little bit more flexibility. And so that's when I transitioned, decided, okay, I'm going to start a consulting business, go back and get my doctorate, start teaching.
Yeah.
And it's been a good transition. I love what I'm doing. I feel like I'm really helping my clients and the students be successful in their careers and lives. And so it's very rewarding.
Yeah.
I'm just as busy as I was before, but it's very different.
Well, and it sort of has that underlying theme of you believe in what you do.
Yes.
And sometimes doing it for yourself, for others, is a lot more powerful.
It's very rewarding.
Yeah. And not, that doesn't always happen in the beginning. I know I was, when Christina, you and I have talked about this, but that's sort of how my transition had gone, was it just wasn't serving in the right way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of you have mentioned work-life balance, and I'm really curious how you all define that. Or do you define it? Or does the job define it? Or does, at what point did the job stop defining it and you started defining it?
I think you have to have a work-life blend.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think that's a much better word. Balance it the same way all the time. I think it has to blend and it has to work for you and your family at whatever stage you're at. It has to work with your job. You have job responsibilities. You have family responsibilities. You have yourself you have to take care of. And so you really... it's a blend of how do you make it all work at the same time.
And knowing what you really have to take the time to prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
Just to take a step back, when I look in terms of my career, there were times early in my career where my career didn't come first. It was really my husband's. He was active duty military.
Mm-hmm.
And when the government says you're going to move, you're going to move.
Yep, when they jumped, you were jumping.
So my husband actually moved. The kids and I didn't. We made that decision because we were already looking for towards the future and my husband supporting us in that role. So our work-life balance and blend at that time was totally different than it is today, 25 years later, and what we focus on. So your time and place within the career makes a difference, where you are, the age of your kids, how you balance all of that. It's really an individual situation. But we've made that decision. I was fortunate to have literally a stay-home husband for a while when the kids were still in school and he retired from the service. So I could be the one traveling and doing the things that I needed to do for that career advancement. Today, where we are and how we spend our time is totally different than how we spent our time 15, 20 years ago.
So go ahead.
I think technology has helped too with the work-life blend if you use it well. And what I mean is if you're a professional person with a professional employer, you can make the decision that, yes, I need to go to my kid's performance in the afternoon, but I can work on that project at home tonight.
Yeah.
I can get up early and return all those emails and have a little more flexibility. And I know not everybody is lucky enough to have the type of employer that understands that, but I think we're all in the type of professional world that gets that. And that has made, I think, work life a little easier today than it was maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah. And I hope a lot of employers are sort of getting on board. I know I've seen some that really promote that, but you're right. There's some out there that they're sort of missing that boat, because if you have a laptop or a phone mm-hmm. these days, you can do just about 99% of the business you need to do.
And the downside of that is you have to know when to put it down. So you do have a balance.
Yeah, that's right. Blend, yeah.
So. Yeah. And I agree with you. I think that where companies were 20 years ago, and depending upon the role you were in, it may not have been possible. Mm-hmm. But today, it is so much more the ease of the technology and the receptiveness and understanding that if you're going to attract and keep good talent, mm-hmm. you have to be flexible. This is something both at SunTrust and certainly at Saltmarsh, they recognize that, and they promote that, the opportunity for that work-life balance and blend.
Yeah. So in all of you know, the chaos, I guess, that happens during transitions, as you look back on it now, is it something that you think and you can be proud of that move in the sense of the way that it unfolded? Because I know, like, for instance, for me, some of it was just jumping and not sitting down and considering, just jumping, because I knew the change had to happen, you know. But then as I look back, I can see some of the, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, but you know, how did that play out? How does that play out now when you're talking about it to other people?
I would say for me, I'm very happy with all the changes that I've made throughout my career. I will say that every time I made a big change, I always had half of my friends would say, "Are you crazy?" And then the other half were very supportive.
Sure.
And that's fine. You don't know at the time if yeah. it's going to be the right move. But I will say that I think one of the things that I always spent time on, I think these ladies have as well, is before I made the leap, I didn't just leap. I didn't, and I also didn't make a lot of assumptions. I asked a lot of questions. I figured out what my life was going to be like. What would success look like for me? Mm-hmm. What would be my yardstick? How would I define that? So I did all that ahead of time. So by the time I made the leap, I had a plan,
yeah.
an action plan.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it was completely unexpected. But yeah, I think I would do it all again.
Yeah.
Every bit of it.
Did it ever just come out of the blue for either one of you?
It did for me with Schwab in particular.
Yeah.
And mostly because the next step with respect to Schwab, and I was already commuting from Phoenix, Arizona to Pensacola. I had been doing it for 2.5 years.
That's
next
a long
step,
time to hang in the sky.
Yeah, it is. It is. And did the same with SunTrust, 2.5 years
yeah.
commuting from Pensacola to Jacksonville. And I guess that's my trigger point, is 2.5 years.
Yeah.
But with Schwab, there were certainly a great deal of opportunities and advancement, but it meant moving to big metro markets, continuing that path, and being willing to do that. And we as a family made that decision. That's not what we wanted
right.
to do. So I had to make a decision very quickly. And it was tough. It was a lot tougher the first time than it was the second or the third time. But it's a lot of it was because, as Sherry said, you start to look at it from the standpoint of what's the possibilities,
mm-hmm.
what's the opportunity, and you start to get a lot better and more strategic about your planning around that.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I've advised others, both men and women, when they start to look at making changes, don't look back, don't go back. Always look at the opportunity that exists in going forward, mm-hmm. because that's unlimited.
So, I guess you're probably the one that's gone from some of the just the radical of doing one thing and then all of a sudden doing something completely yeah. different.
And I get bored. So for me, I'm more of you. I jump more
yeah.
because I like the challenge of something new. It's what keeps me energized. And when I'm someplace that, you know, when I'm looking at myself and I'm like, oh, man, you've been at this job 5 years. It's time to move. Mm-hmm. That's my mindset. Is that unless there's new opportunity coming along quite rapidly, I have the type of personality that wants to move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you ever stop yourself and say, oh, I shouldn't be doing that because I've been doing this? Did you ever let any of your past careers or things that you've done sort of define who you were or ever have that hurdle?
Never. In fact, I I worry that life is too short and you're not going to get to do all the cool things you want to do before it's over.
Okay. See, I did.
I can agree with that.
I did too. I think that's why you need to leave.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to take the risk. Mm-hmm.
So
thoughtfully.
Thoughtfully. So, okay. So with that being said, what would be some advice to anyone that may be thinking, oh, I don't know if I belong here, or I don't know if I want to do something, or is that what I'm supposed to do because I've been doing this for so long? You know, where do you send them?
I would say for me that some of the biggest regrets I have is maybe not taking the risk soon enough.
Yeah.
So I knew that I probably wanted a change before mm-hmm. I actually took the leap. So I'm glad I took the leap and took the risk, but I think I would act a little faster on it. And then I would also say to surround yourself with people that are going to challenge you and ask you questions and then support and encourage you along the way.
Yeah.
I think that's been really important.
I'd echo that. I think having a network of people that are positive and not the people that say, you're going to do what? Are you crazy? What? Why would you leave a perfectly solid, but I just, to me, the people I always feel bad for are the people that have the clock that they're counting down 20 days, 5 months, 7 minutes to, you know, the 30-year retirement. I think those days are gone. I think
you're right.
We're in a world where, you know, the more opportunity and skills you can build in different careers, the better employee and employer you're going to be to others.
I would agree. If you're not happy and if you're a clock watcher, it's time to seriously be considering making a move. I think a very important consideration is that your values and the company that you work for, they have to align. You have to have confidence that the character of that company is fully something that you can support and mm-hmm. you can engage with, because that will become a sticking point and a disconnect and a pain point over time. So, you know, for me, that was always one of the first considerations when I was looking to make that move, or if I was someplace where something wasn't feeling right with leadership, directionally where they were going, if I could not be 100% on board as a leader, because you have to be a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And if you can't, it's time to go.
Yeah. And it's more than just drinking the Kool-Aid.
It is.
Yeah. And you're right. I think that's a lot of what you're seeing now, is that people are becoming less and less afraid to admit that those values don't align with who I am or who
exactly.
I want to be.
True.
You know? Okay. So I got to ask each of you, what book are you reading right now? Christina brought one in.
I did, because I'm really excited.
And I think
about
I've seen this before. Is this the one that has to do with Baptists?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So The Blue Zones, and specifically it talks about the 9 lessons for living longer, you know, happier life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it fits in with what we've been talking about today. But interestingly enough, Baptist is actually bringing one of the authors. There's 3 brothers that actually were involved in writing the book. And one of them is coming to Pensacola next week, and we'll be speaking at 2 different engagements. So I would encourage, if folks have not heard about this, mm-hmm. go to their website and check it out.
Okay, so it's called The Blue Zones. Who's mm-hmm. it by?
Yeah, Dan Buettner.
Okay. So it takes a lot of the Baptist culture in with it. Is that correct?
This actually was not part of Baptist. I mean, they didn't write this. This was written several years ago, but they are promoting the notion of Pensacola becoming a blue zone.
Okay.
So there are 5 blue zones that have been identified across the world with respect to individuals who live well beyond 100 years old. And it's really about the environment and lifestyle, similar to what we've been talking about, is creating your environment and your lifestyle that, creates a fulfilled, happy life for you, that enables you to really reach that satisfaction and potentially live a much longer life.
Yeah. Doing work that matters. Huh?
Yeah. Doing work that matters.
Okay. What are you reading?
Well, I'm looking forward to reading that book. That sounds good. So right now I'm reading a couple books, but they're not necessarily for fun like that. I teach a internet marketing class and a social media marketing class. So I'm trying desperately to find up-to-date textbooks for those.
Yeah.
And so I'm currently reading an internet marketing book and a social media marketing strategy book, and trying to see if I can find something that'll be more current for the classes. And then I'm reading a book called Presence by Ann Cuddy that a friend had given me. And it's really all about confidence and poise and having a presence. So I'm only into that about two or three chapters. Yeah. So
but you're like, yeah, I've got four or five books that I'm in the middle
of. And then if you had asked me this question in the summer, when I'm out at the beach, it would be some novel, fictional novel that I could just enjoy out on the beach.
Well, so. You're right. Sometimes it can't all just be information and education, huh? Yes. Okay, what are you reading?
So the non-trash I'm reading. I'm reading this book by Dr. Amy Myers, Autoimmune Syndrome, and it's about eliminating toxins from your food and your environment. But I'm also listening to a really interesting podcast series with Dr. Christine Northrup, and it's on aging gracefully. And it's interesting. She covers all aspects of, as you know, we're kind of all moving in our 50s. And so looking at, you know, how are you still running marathons when you're 80?
I'm very interested in hearing that podcast.
I'll send you the link. All
right. Yeah, going out with a bang, right? Yeah. None of us get out alive. So I'm reading a couple books right now. One is called Hack the Entrepreneur, which is, it's, you can read it straight through, but it's really sort of one of those pickup kind of reference materials. But it talks a lot about what we've been talking about and really just deciding that you're going to do what you want to do. In that sense, so that you can have some fulfillment in the work that you're creating and the lives that you're affecting. The other one I'm reading is called Never Fry Bacon in the Nude. It's actually written by my business partner. It's all about speed and it's about connection and it's about building relationships and business will come. It's sort of a mix between a motivational, a leadership and a Zig Ziglar of just serve and serve the right way. Mm-hmm. And those things will happen. And then the other really far out one I'm reading right now is called Seth Speaks. And that's all about some just consciousness and really paying attention to your guts and your emotions and your feelings and letting those guide you a little bit more, which obviously when you think about it is really the basis of a lot of what we talk about and a lot of what we do. And so much of life is not recognized and interpreted that way. And I think that they brought a really good light on using that as a focus to actually make some accurate decisions of moving forward. So
very good. We're going to have to add those to our reading list.
So, and I'm not reading anything trashy right now, but when I am, I'll share it with you. What do you think it means for the three of you as a definition of being a woman in leadership? Yeah, I see the gears turning.
I'll take that. In my view, leadership now in 2016 shouldn't be defined by gender, you know, and I would hope that at some point the discussion will get away from that and just be about true, wonderful leadership. Mm-hmm. I think, though, that now there aren't enough women in top leadership. It is, you know, a reality today. And so I think it's incumbent on all of us as women leaders to do what we can to support other women and do what we can to help educate women along the way. And I will just give a quick plug as an example. At UWF, there's a Women in Leadership Conference. Mm-hmm. It's an annual conference. I started it about 2 or 3 years ago. In fact, Julie was one of my first moderators of a panel at that. And Christina is going to be a panelist coming up. The event's Friday, March 4th. And basically, it's a full day free conference for everybody, mm-hmm. men and
I registered.
Women. Did you? That's awesome.
I did.
We actually had about 50 men last year. Yeah. And I think it's great because it's a great message. There are all these successful women in town. They talk about best practices. They talk about their stories.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great learning experience. I think people can learn from that. And I think we have to be supportive and have these opportunities available for women to learn and grow and develop and be aware of what could be.
Yeah. I saw it and I was like, you know, here's a whole day of some really successful people sharing some really cool stories. I am bound to pick up one or two tidbits that can probably accelerate me to something better, you know?
Yeah, I'll tag on to that and say that, and I agree with Sherry, I think it's less about gender and more about what are good leadership skills in general. What tend to, in some cases, hold women back in leadership is that we tend to not put ourselves out there as much. We tend to hold ourselves back. So I would say, thrive in a changing environment. Be a risk taker. Put yourself out there for those opportunities. Make yourself available, and you know, push the envelope a little bit. you'll have no regrets. Mm-hmm. I would also say it's really important, and I think in particular for women, maintain a sense of humor and a positive attitude. Yeah. It will serve you well, both in the workforce and outside of it. And as Julie said, surrounding yourself with people that lift you up and that help you really feel good about yourself, yeah, and push and promote you forward, make a world of difference.
So, and make some mistakes, have some failures,
make some
but keep
mistakes.
Trying.
That's
because
okay. You learn from them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would just add also, you know, we all need to empower others to be decision makers and leaders and to take those risks and to step out there. Because often, you know, when you are successful, people tend to look to you for all the answers and to want to kind of have you make all the decisions. And I've found myself trying harder and harder to go back to, well, what do you think? And why would you do this? And have other people own the process. And I think that makes your job more enjoyable too, if you can promote that.
I agree. And if I can add to that, I think it's really important that you find good mentors for yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have more than one.
Both male and female.
Male and female. And then also, once you get to a certain point, you know, you still want to maintain mentors and having mentors for yourself all through your life, but give back and help mentor other people as well. I think it's really important. I think you learn a lot about life that way. Mm-hmm. In a very comfortable way. And mm-hmm. It is what you said. It's not giving people the answers. It's helping them to make their own decisions and give them that support and encouragement and sometimes that tough love mm-hmm. that they may need.
And I'll make a plug for Pensacola Young Professionals. They are starting this year with a mentorship program. And I have a mentee. And it's been just as wonderful for me to have somebody in the community that's a millennial that's mm-hmm. you know, I'm and we're having a fun time.
It's yeah, just, I do know. Too. I'm actually mentoring somebody as well. In fact, I would encourage you for a future show to bring on some of the mentors and mentees.
You know, we could probably make that happen. Mm-hmm. PYP is actually right down the hall.
Yeah, they're a great
it's a wonderful organization.
Yeah,
and then you can get mentors from the executive mentor program too, from UWF with the College of Business, because we have about 50 business executives uh-huh. that have volunteered to mentor one-on-one a college business student for a whole academic year. Yeah. And they say they're getting just as much out of it as a student.
Oh,
oh, sure.
I would agree to that.
I think one of the biggest things of teaching, and I know I've had conversations about most anything, but usually when those conversations come from a teaching aspect of trying to relate what I've learned to somebody who's learning, is that I'm learning just as much, if not more, because it's my way of sort of regurgitating and processing mm-hmm. and really working through some of those lessons. I would absolutely agree with that.
Well, plus if it's been a while since you've been a young college graduate,
yeah,
you learn about what life's like these days.
Yeah. And it's not them. The same as
it's
when we were
the
there.
Same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or even 5 years ago for that mm-hmm. matter.
Don't you want to go back?
Absolutely.
Yes, there are parts of me that do. Some to do over and do better, yeah. And some just because I had a really good time.
Just do over.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, with that, what do you, because we've talked about YEA and some of the, but what are some of the other things that you think gave you some empowerment in throughout your careers and your lives? Like, I know I've done Leadership Pensacola, and I know that helped a lot. You said, I just totally lost my thought, not YEA, but
Pensacola Young Professional.
Yeah, that's it.
So
PYP.
I've worked with them, but I've done Leadership Florida, as has Christina.
And I'm in Leadership Florida this year.
Right.
I did Leadership Pensacola too.
Yeah. So, okay. So those were some pretty good empowering things.
And I think serving on, if you have the opportunity to get out there and serve on either not-for-profit boards or statewide boards and organizations where you can interact with people that are not in your profession. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think we can pick up a lot from how other professions do things as well.
Mm-hmm. And frankly, taking on leadership roles that are outside of our defined roles and responsibilities within our own company. I know Julie and Sherry do that all the time.
Yeah.
I do that as well within my company, and they allow and encourage that. Saltmarsh, we have different committees where we can participate and actually help the company improve and look for opportunities to make a difference both mm-hmm. in our community and within our organization. So put yourself out there for those opportunities.
Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest things I ever took from the healthcare industry. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, it was just restaurants and stuff. But when you get into the healthcare, you really start, there's all these committees that you can sign up to do to be part of that actually acts as the voice of the people. So mm-hmm. without having a union, I guess, as you'd call it.
Yeah.
So, well, any final pieces of advice that you'd like to give someone looking to make a career transition?
Have fun. Life is short.
Jump.
Yeah. Go for it.
Mm-hmm. And just don't be afraid, huh?
Well,
it's okay.
Keep looking forward.
Yeah,
keep looking forward. You don't have to look back. Keep looking forward.
Yeah.
Okay. Look for that next new adventure.
That's it. So when I want to make sure we've got everything covered. Is there anything coming up in Salt Marsh that is happening?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we can put that out there right now. So May 11th, we actually are going to be holding a business leaders funnel. It's Pensacola's business leader funnel at New World Landing from 8:30 to 11:30. We have Dr. Susan McManus coming in, who is a political scientist. She will be handicappy talking about the upcoming election, political elections. We also have another speaker, Jason Altmaier, who's a former U.S. congressman. He's with Florida Blue, and he will talk about the Affordable Care Act in relation to the elections. And then we also have an IT specialist coming in who will talk about cybersecurity. So it's a big event for the community.
Which is a huge subject these days.
Exactly.
Huge.
I was going to back to that Women in Leadership conference. I do want to let people know it's been sold out for the last 3 years. So this year we're sold out. It's more than 400 attendees. But if you're interested in going, get on the waiting list. We're creating a waiting list. So if we find that people are
can't make it or something,
then we are calling people back and getting them. And we're going to try to pack as many people in there as we
can. Great. Well, I have two tickets, so I'm good to go.
There you go.
And I would just add, on February 18th, IHMC, part of our evening lecture series, we're hosting Harrison Jack Schmidt, who talked about a career change, was a geologist, was an astronaut, was one of the last men to walk on the moon, came back, became a state senator in New Mexico, and now he's a consultant on science. So he's our public speaker free on the 18th.
Wow, you want to talk about swinging a pendulum, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're getting close to the end of time here, but I want to thank all of you for coming in and helping really define the series that we're doing and sharing all of your experiences with us. And I'm going to have to write down all these books so that when I'm done with my other four, I can go read some
more. We'd like a copy as well.
Yeah, we'll make a list. So.
Well, thanks for inviting us.
Yeah, thank you. It's really been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And it will not be the last time you're here. I can promise you that. So, and I'm looking forward to the conference to really start picking some brains. So you guys can find us at Pecola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us at Pensacola BRX at Facebook, and you can find us on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. Again, thank you, all three of you, for coming in and hanging out with us today.
Thanks, Keith.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters. Mm-hmm.